welcome everyone. My name is Sosan Flynn. I'm the guiding teacher at Clouds and Water Zen Center. And today I'm serving in the role of ENO, or event coordinator. My pronouns are she, her. Clouds and Water is devoted to awakening the great heart of wisdom and compassion. And our speaker today is just entering now, Marcus Young, and his mother, Grace, who's joining us in the audience. Welcome. We have a chair up front for Grace. So Marcus, if you want to sit next to your mom for now, and I'll introduce you, and then we can do the vows together. So as I said, the Sunday Dharma talk this morning will be given by Marcus Young. And sometimes we know a title of the talk ahead of time, so I have that. The title is Breaking and Making. And this talk will be a participatory Dharma experience, exploring how breaking something is also a chance to make something, and how that intentional destruction creative energy invites new belonging. With this offering, Marcus honors Thich Nhat Hanh and his mother, Grace. Marcus is a multidisciplinary artist making change in the world through inventing everyday behavioral and awareness practices. He makes work within mindfulness and learning communities, as well as for the stage, museums, government agencies, and the public realm. His offering focuses on individual and collective well-being, participatory artistic experiences, and cultivating a liberated, artful life. Marcus is a longtime friend of Clouds and Water and a beloved colleague of mine, and he serves on the Race, Love, and Liberation Lab for Growing Spiritual Things, which is an advisory group to me, the guiding teacher, regarding BIPOC programming at Clouds and Water. So our tradition is to, for everyone is invited to stand as you're able. You don't need to stand, you can stand if you're able. And then Marcus and I will bow together. Is that what we decided? Okay. you're invited to bow with us if you choose. And you can do that full bows, standing bows, seated bows, or no bows.
So, breaking and making, I'm going to already break form. We have beautiful forms here and in the Zen practice. And playfully, I'm going to break form probably everywhere I go today. So if you'll allow me to take this off for just a moment and invite my mother to sit next to me. No one objects. Big smile. My mother, Grace. So it's a wonderful and happy moment to be here today. Thank you for the invitation. And I want to first acknowledge this moment, really. Acknowledge this room. Many things have happened in this room that have formed me over many, many years. as I was driving here from St. Louis Park, the closer I got, the more the feelings that I'm so used to come back and arise again in me, or a deep affection for this place, for this room and for the people, old friends and new friends. That feeling that after 38 years in Minnesota, I actually don't have that many places where I have this kind of affection for. I probably can count on one hand the places that I have this type of connection. And they're all different. So have any of you been on that bridge across from the sculpture garden to Loring Park? Mm. There's a poem on that bridge, if you've ever noticed it. It's kind of quiet up high. Anybody know that poem? Have you seen that poem? Yeah. So it's a very special poem. Next time you're there, just slowly walk across that bridge as you cross in like 12 or 14 lanes of highway. And poem by John Ashbery about crossing and the ocean. And the sound of the highway sounds like the ocean beneath you. A remarkable confluence of infrastructure and air and poetry and imagination. That's like no other in the Twin Cities that I know of. So in my 38 years, I haven't been able to cultivate a home in the way that I think of as a type of sanctuary like this place is, which I think adds to how much more special it is every time I come here. But every time, as I walk up, I always have a feeling where I'm breaking open a little bit, tender inside, and all the hurt of the world can come up with my next inhale, and a place that allows for that, that breaking and making. This room is where I met Reverend Angel Kyodo Williams. I don't know if it was in this room or somewhere I read a writing of hers, but I associate it with being in this room where she said, "You belong because you breathe." And you know, that phrase was so simple and caught my attention, but to practice that is a lifelong practice. Just to hear it, "You belong because you breathe," and then allow that sentence slowly to move down into your heart and into your gut and all throughout your body. And I practice that truly. This is also the room where she said, I use he or any pronouns. This is where she said, we go around the room and we introduce ourselves and we use pronouns. And if you don't like that or you have a problem with that, there's the door. this is the room where Sosan and I have led and what retreats and other experiences. We've had BIPOC and body liberation practices in this room. I met Peggy and Larry Ward in this room. This is also the room where I developed kind of a bad habit of thinking while I meditate. I have admitted this to many folks in this room. But the type of thinking I do is I pick one thing that I can't quite resolve. And I sit with that for a half an hour or so. And usually before the half an hour, the question has an answer. So I remember it was in this room that I asked myself, where should I propose to the person I love and who is now my spouse? And I think in 10 minutes, I came up with the answer. So I highly recommend my bad habit of sitting with a question in a beautiful, safe space like this place. So that is my long-winded way of saying thank you, clouds. Thank you to all the people who make it possible and all the people who've cared for it these many years. It means a great deal to me. And I suppose it's a practice of, there's a line in a Wendell Berry poem, the poem called How to Be a Poet. He says, stay away from anything that obscures the place it is in. Stay away from anything that obscures the place it is in. And I don't want to be your obscuring of the place we are in. So I'm really just digging up what this place means to me. And hopefully we share some of that meaning. Actually, the full line is, stay away from screens. Stay away from anything that obscures the place it is in. With apologies to our friends on Zoom. I love holding contradiction. We love the fact that we are. Thank you. I love that we are together in the same space. And I know these screens can be just misused. So we are using these screens compassionately and wisely. And actually the full line is, stay away from screens. Stay away from anything that obscures the place it is in. There are no unsacred places. There are only sacred places and desecrated places. Which I interpret to mean, actually, when you look around, there's only sacred, except if it's desecrated. There's only sacred, meaning there is all miracle around us, all sacred and all miracle around us. And it is, again, in these spaces where it's easier to touch that, to remind yourself of that touchstone. In spaces where I learned from Peggy Ward recently, and she learned from Thich Nhat Hanh, that you must have a place and a way to stop and calm and rest and heal and transform. This moment, as we're unpacking the moment and not obscuring the moment, is a moment that I get to sit here with my mom. Mm-hmm. I get to sit here with my mom. my mom and I have been kind of tied to the hip, cheek to cheek, elbow to elbow, for a little while now. We've entered a new phase of life where you've gotten funnier. You've gotten funnier. You laugh a lot more. Yeah. Do you want to say anything to the group?
We've been to Hanoi, and the other places in Iowa. Oh, where's that?
Anything else you want to say?
Well, but I haven't been to Colombia.
She's always reminding me of places she hasn't been to that we need to go to. But you're right, we've been to Hanoi, and we used to live in Iowa. Yeah, long time ago. But now my mom lives in Southern California.
Oh.
Yeah. We haven't figured out what the future holds, so in the meanwhile, we just go together wherever we need to go. We've been recently to New York, because I had a work trip to New York.
So I dragged you along with me. We led a meditation retreat in Western Wisconsin, and we did that together.
Yes.
Yeah. So, this moment. I'm learning a lot about mindfulness from my mom. This moment also is possible because of the BIPOC lab that I belong to and have worked with for quite a few number of years. And the lab, among other things, stewards a scholarship for BIPOC leaders. And I believe there's still money available if anyone wants to apply for something to support BIPOC leadership. But I was given the great gift of traveling to Vietnam to follow a group of people retracing the steps Thich Nhat Hanh's life from birth and becoming a monk and starting to do his work, going to all the places of significance that were part of his early and late life. It was a great moving experience that I haven't fully processed yet, really. I do know that what struck me on the trip was learning that Thay suffered from depression and that also resonated with me as a form of breaking and making, I suppose, if I wanted to connect it to this talk today. But that he was human. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Thay, he looked like he floated across the room. And because of the love that was in the room, we all got up, and I was kind of like I was doing just now, following the steps of other people, because I was new to the practice. He seemed much more like elemental than a human being. And there was something about learning about his grief and sorrow that brought him even closer to my heart. So I just wanted to share at least this that one thing from the trip to Vietnam that was given to me. So great gratitude for that experience. I want to keep track of time a little bit. Oh, here it is. Yeah. I'm not doing a very good job. I wanted this to be an interactive experience, and it will get there, but all that I said just now was really to acknowledge my love for Clouds of Water and to place myself and hopefully you all in this moment with me. So the reason I reached for the words breaking and making is just to name and try to work with the overwhelming feeling I have in my heart, and maybe some of us have as well, that the world, I mean, not even to say upside down, dare I say falling apart, it seems like things are just falling apart. And I, along with it, and along with that, my own ideas of myself and how to be in the world. And along with that, a feeling of wanting to break things myself. So it's just this idea, this feeling of breaking and falling apart inside and out. Maybe the words despair and overwhelm. And I will say, even anger that I don't want this world to be this way. And maybe even I don't want this world, this one world we have. In moments like that, I sometimes remember a passage out of an artist's statement. Christy Belcour has this beautiful painting at the MIA. It's in the indigenous native wing. And as you go in, you'll see a big black painting with all these colorful dots. And let me know if you encountered this painting before. I can't quite remember the name of it, but it's quite large. And dots like beadwork. And Christy Belcour, who's Métis artist, in her artist statement, she says, "The state of the world is in crisis. We are witness to the unbearable suffering of species, including humans." And she paints species that are extinct or endangered. And so you see this beautiful big painting with all these colors and you think, wow, our world is so gorgeous and rich. And then you realize she's painting those that are leaving us or have left this world. Much of this we do to ourselves. It is possible for the planet to return to a state of well-being, but it requires a radical change in our thinking. It requires a willingness to be open to the idea that perhaps human beings have got it all wrong. And that last sentence is so powerful and hurts so deeply. And yet, can we be open to the idea of this radical notion of being open that perhaps human beings have got it all wrong? That's that energy that I've been feeling lately about, I don't want this world. Get me out of here. This one world that I have, where would I go? And I was recently asked, I was being critical of higher ed and how I think the system is not really well set up. And someone, very kindly said, "Well, what do you think is wrong?" Which set me back on my heels a bit, because I'm good at criticizing, but now to actually be articulate and accurate about what I think is wrong. So it took a while, and I finally, the one thing I could come up with was, I was never told I belong. like Reverend Angel did in this room, you belong because you breathe. I did 4 years of putting stuff in my head so that I would not be embarrassed that there was not enough there. When all along I just needed some reassurance and the cultivation that, no, we all belong because we breathe. You don't have to. So on.
Timing was beautiful.
Sounds exactly like mine. And all along, really 4 years and however many thousands of dollars, just needed some help to say, learn about yourself. Learn about how to stop and calm and rest and heal and transform. And that's the learning, not this acquiring and frantic, panicked, embarrassing, depositing in my quote unquote empty head. So that's what I said. I said, well, I was just too busy acquiring the knowledge and forgetting that the knowledge is in me. The Thich Nhat Hanh song that I love so much, "I have arrived, I am home," is a way to remind me of that too. So, maybe in the spirit of breaking and making. I'd like to enter into our little participatory moment, participatory experiment. When I do this in classrooms, I call it, let's make more room. And then in parentheses, I say, let's make more room for miracles and mysteries. So it's very simple. And those of you at home or wherever you are on Zoom can play along too. And the operative word is comfort. So just take a moment to check in with your comfort level. And that can be so many things. How you're sitting, if it's comfortable or not. And if there is something you can do to create a little bit more ease in how you're sitting, I encourage you to do that, even if it breaks form and looks wrong. That might mean the addition of a layer or removal of a layer if the temperature is not quite right. It might mean a little bit of rubbing, reassuring. Might mean changing positions. Things that you might not normally do in front of other people because we are Zen folks and we like a certain type of order and neatness and appropriateness. So if there are tiny things or not so tiny things that you'd like to do, just adjust. And at home as well, if you're leaning into your screen a little too much, or if you are wanting to focus away from the screen so that you don't have to stare at the pixels and just listen to my voice or listen to what's around you, please feel free to play along and use comfort as your guide. And continue to do that even as I move on to the next layer of adjustments. Since the folks at home may not be able to see the room all that well, I'll just narrate a few things. People are getting up, people are getting layers, grabbing a blanket, changing seated positions, moving around, stretching a little bit here and there. I would like to invite you to expand the idea of comfort, not just your sort of the immediate surrounding space, your inner tennis sphere, but maybe change something in the space around you more around you. Like, let's say, for example, you want to change a position in a room, but the room was set up in a way that you had to sit in, you know, sort of assigned places, right? So let's say you want to be close to a window, or be close to the altar, or be close to Jiso, or be close to the door. Just inviting that playfulness to move to a new location at this moment, and to really allow for that, because you're not stuck in any place. Now, if you're very, very comfortable exactly where you are, that's okay too. But if maybe it would be just a little bit more comfortable if I made this tiny adjustment so that maybe we're not in such neat rows. Whatever might delight you or trip your curiosities, it doesn't have to be even for a reason that you know, but just a feeling like, oh, I really would like to have my back up against a wall. Or it would be so meaningful to be near this person that's across the room that I care for a lot, and it would be nice to sit next to that person. What possibilities are there when we undo what was set up for us, including our own expectations of ourselves? maybe I came in with the expectation that I should sit up front, because really, I could be someplace else. Mm-hmm. I could be someplace else. Like maybe just a little bit closer to you. I wonder if we can extend comfort and play and curiosity to even things like the light level, with the sounds in the room. If you're near a bell, you can always ring a bell. We don't mind. Whatever might bring comfort and ease and playfulness and undoing and redoing and stretching. You don't have to face front. You can face another direction. There are so many options. We give ourselves beautiful options. If you didn't have a chance to maybe do a few yoga poses this morning, or, you know, a Dharma talk is really how you listen to yourself and how we get inspired by people around us, all around us. So keep imagining, you know, keep tuning within to your comfort, first and foremost. Maybe you need a sip of water, you can go out and get one, or you need a bathroom break. I think it would even be permissible if you wanted to come up and touch the lavender that Sosan and I touched earlier. Is that right? Yeah. So really, sometimes the perception of what is sacred and what is not sacred is actually not quite right. As a line said, there are no unsacred places. Do take a look around the room too, if you're finding inspiration, learning from others' actions. So for those on Zoom, some have taken a lying down position. Some are standing. Some are leaning on neighbors. Additional layers. The light in the room has come down a bit. If you're at home and you can light a candle or burn some incense, whatever it is, please, you know, make your space. And then the last word I want to direct you to, if we went from comfort to play and curiosity, the last word I want to direct all of us to, and then you might make adjustments around, is the word rest. The sequence is like stop, rest, stop, calm, rest, heal, and then transform. Let's give some attention to rest. So whatever that means for you now, we all have different ways of resting. It might just be the way you like refocus, retune your awareness or your breath. But take the word rest seriously for the next several minutes. And I will also vacate the sonic space so that you can have that space to rest in as well for just a couple minutes. I want to read the land acknowledgement. We recognize the Dakota and Anishinaabe peoples whose descendants are still here and whose lands we occupy. Let us also offer deep gratitude to our Indian, Chinese, and Japanese spiritual ancestors for all they have given us and for the chance to practice here today. Let us stand with the Black community who have suffered in the loss of the Rondo neighborhood. I invite us to dedicate our time together this morning to all those who are suffering. We are all connected. May we work together for the liberation of all beings. And with that, I'd like to close our Dharma experience together and see if there are any comments or thoughts. If we have a couple minutes, is that right? Is there a need for a bell or anything? Thank you.
Always.
Always.
Yeah, always well, a need for a bell.
I was feeling the same thing. Yeah. Thank you. Comments, questions, offerings from Zoom or room here.
I like the rest part. I like resting. It's nice.
You like the rest.
Yeah.
The rest part. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's been longer probably.
It's good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I could just calm.
Just a tiny taste of when you're here on a residential retreat, you get to really rest in a space that normally you're supposed to be a different way.
Yeah, supposed to be upright.
Upright, yeah, being upright, yeah. Other comments, yeah.
I've been feeling a lot of chaotic, globally broken energy, and I just really, and what's been helping me, and I really want to thank you, is just have a place that I can kind of come back to, and that break, make, phrase, it gives me hope as an artist and as a creator to remember that sometimes things really have to be broken to create something new. And makes me feel a little less don't want to be in this world.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that. The comment was just our Zoom. I don't know if the Zoom friends can hear.
It's good to repeat.
Yeah. Just the reminder that when the world seems to be falling apart and everything around you is breaking, that there is the other side of it, the making side. And that as an artist or maker, and we're all creative beings, that we can withstand and embrace even and witness the breaking so that we can accept it more in order to have room for making new things. I'm paraphrasing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, and so even, you know, in our little exercise of what does it mean to just gently, mindfully break open the Zen form and the way we gather. If you look around the room, then I don't think you would see disorder necessarily, but maybe a type of intimacy and relaxed quality and openness that just is there anyway, but maybe needs to be practiced once in a while. Was there a comment? Yes.
I'm wondering if you could kind of point out the difference between, or what makes a desecrated space desecrated versus how can we tell the difference, and is that something we should be going out and re-sacralizing, or are desecrated spaces also necessary?
I had to look up the word desecrated just to kind of be more sure, and you know, maybe a place that where violence happened is one way to approach that. And even places where there have been violence, that desecration was a moment in time and part of history. And history then changes, you know, as time goes by, things change, and our own ability to heal with a place layers on top of that desecrated moment of history. I don't really know the answer, but I would say yes, there. If you have one, you always have the other. You have the making and you have the breaking. And if you have the sacred and the unsacred, or the desecrated, I should say, yeah, they are part of the whole. And acknowledging that the work is to, as you say, re-sacralize or remake. And maybe the point that I was trying to bring into it was to realize that there is no neutral. He says there are no unsacred places. So actually, this table, this cushion, this knee, this nail polish, you know, everything has this quality to it that is part of the bigger miracle. I think that for me is the message I want to keep reminding myself that there is no neutral.
Thank you so much for this talk. It's timely to know. Well, first of all, I think of 38th in Chicago. For me, a place that was made less sacred, but then made into a more sacred place for me. But I mean, this breaking is sort of common for a lot of us. I feel like it's been pretty well defined in my life in the last few years, a sort of allowing myself to break. And I'm thinking of a friend right now, a friend of mine, who is resisting so much, and I'm watching him suffer incredibly. Obviously, he seems to be afraid, but the point here, I think, seems to be to suffer less. Yeah, just thinking about people with resistance to allowing things to break open. They've already broken. Now I am clinging to this old relic. And we suffer.
Thank you for that teaching. A reminder to stay connected to 38th in Chicago. Desecration that has over time become sacred again. And the suffering that can happen when one clings to forms that are overdue for breaking and remaking.
This is probably the last one.
Yeah, we have a Zoom message from Keika, who says, thank you, Marcus and Mama Young. This is so creative as a Zen Dharma Talk experience. We didn't dance, though.
Next time. Next time.
Right.
Yes. We stretched. We were in the warm-up phase, the pre-dance phase. So with that, I turn it over to
timekeepers.
Thank you.